It's Tuesday, Wednesday night, and it's July 8th, 2020. Are we going to pray?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would be comfort to Glenn now.
Amen.
These things, they shake you. They shake you. So, Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would be the rock that Glenn would be on, oh Lord. And Lord, that there would be a kind of, healing or whatever with in connection with the situation with the death of this man that he just had dealings with. You touch him. You give him a place of comfort in that, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask that what is brought tonight would be your words, your truth, O Lord, your goodness. Not our good ideas, but your truth, Lord, by your Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
In to the Church of Philadelphia, some things that I think might have something to do with the dream I had, but this part. In the 12th verse, it says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name."
I got a name verse too that I was going to bring tonight. I got a name verse setting I was going to bring tonight too.
I'm not saying I have an answer to any of that.
No, I don't to the one I'm
writing. My new name. Something other than Jesus, I guess, huh?
But I thought that the name that he already had was above all names.
Yeah.
I will write on him my new name. I wonder what... I'm looking for in other translations, and I'm not seeing anything else.
Well, here, in chapter 14 of Revelations, "Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads."
Father's name, yeah, okay.
Well, what is his Father's name? You know, that's my question, and I have no answer.
Yeah. Well, we can't do anything better than Yahweh. Yahweh.
I have a real sneaking suspicion that we might not know right away.
Right.
and it may be that that word name includes a little more than just Charles versus Chuck here. You know, there may be something going on with that notion of name for identity.
Well, doesn't it say in here somewhere that we will all be giving a new name?
I think in this verse. Well,
I think you're right, Glenn, but I can't think of where, but I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have those who overcome are going to get Jesus' new name. Well, maybe, I wonder if it's a name that Jesus gives him. Maybe it's Jesus bestowing a new name on that individual. Maybe that's what this
it
means.
It could be.
One of the translations reads, "I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God."
Okay.
That's the NIV.
Well, no, but then what Keith's reading is a couple lines below that. New Jerusalem come down out of heaven, and I will write on him my new name, right?
My new name.
The last sentence of verse 12. course, some of it's in italics.
Yeah. And
which means it may or may not have been in the original.
It's really interesting. It
comes down
about all that. And it may, you know, maybe it's just implying that you are the special ones. You know, you're the chosen ones.
Who knows?
You know?
I think the italics, though, Keith, is going back up to where, because earlier on in the verse it says, I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem. And then it's kind of like what you do with that Timothy verse Timothy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love all the my God, my God, my God.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
That's not a co-equal, is it?
That's very.
I woke up early this morning or something on my mind, and. You know, it's important for us. It's vital that we understand the humanity of Christ, and because the church, for the most part, does not understand it. But when they give the genealogy of Christ in Matthew and in Luke, in Matthew they start from Abraham. And they go down to Joseph. And it says, who was something, he was not the real father, but he was, it was through that lineage. Of course, Joseph and Mary were both of the tribe of David, or both of the descendants of David. So it didn't matter, you know, so much. And, but when in Luke, it starts with Joseph. And it goes all the way back to Adam. But it sticks with Joseph. And both, so in this sense, we're calling Christ the Son of Man. You know, it's an earthly genealogy, or, begats, whatever. And so, there's not anything in the scriptures that present him as a spirit. And Ken and Corky and I are talking about today, as a matter of fact, the disciples, I don't think that they understood either right away. And so they're seeing Jesus, and he appeared in the room and was out. The doors weren't opened, or it just appeared in the room. And so he has to be a spirit. Because, flesh and blood, flesh and bones can't penetrate the walls. And so the disciples, they said, it's a spirit. And he says, does a spirit have flesh and bones? And so, now we're in a dimension that we don't understand. How did flesh and bones get through the wall? Well,
I was just thinking, it isn't necessarily that he had to go through a wall, he just appeared. Yeah. You can just appear in a place.
Okay, but that's the same thing I said.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to appear through a wall necessarily, you can just appear.
Yeah.
I mean, God can do it, obviously.
Well, that angel just appeared, it helped me, I would have got shish kebab.
Yeah. If Jesus were asking my advice, which he wouldn't do, but if he were, I would say, hey, if you really want to prove that you came back in the flesh, don't do all this popping up to places. Knock on the door, open, swing the door open. Come in that way.
He did a number of things to prove that he was flesh and blood.
Yeah, yeah, but then he does a number of things that raises a question about it, too. You know?
He ate fish.
Do you have some, do you have anything here to eat?
Yeah. He ate fish on the beach.
Yep. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he ate a honeycomb and
right.
Some fish.
He
even
cooked it on the beach.
Yeah.
I remember, right?
Yeah, he had the fire made for when, they cooked, when he called them back in.
Right.
Yeah. Where did he get the firewood, the pot there, cooked, or whatever? You know? What? Too many questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah, so as a man, he was delegated the authority that his father had.
Mm-hmm.
All power, all authority has been given to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter who he was. It didn't matter if he was an animal. If God would have delegated all power to him, he had all power.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever God says, that's the way it is. One of the reasons that humanity is such a sad, sad thing is that because we insist on using our own logic. We insist on it couldn't happen that way. Jesus has to be a God because no man could do what he did.
Yes.
I know some people right now that as hard as much as we know of the scriptures and everything we know, that is not the evidence that would help them. Their mind is, it's like Don Burnett used to say, like concrete. It's mixed up and permanently set.
Right.
You
know what, Keith? There's very little logic being used in this world today.
Yeah.
Very little of it being used today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's so funny that, because no man could do those things except that Peter, Paul, blah, blah. I mean, it's like, what are they thinking? You know? They don't see any of that in the Word? Probably not.
It's a funny thing, but we see things that happen through Paul and Peter that we don't even see Jesus doing.
Yeah.
Remember he said greater things than these shall he do?
Yeah.
The shadow of Peter healed people.
All right. The handkerchief of Paul healed people.
Handkerchiefs taken off from Paul.
Yeah.
You know. It's not that it couldn't have happened, but it's just that,
no, we don't know of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, Paul must have been a guy because he was in the third heavens.
That's right. Well, they, they people said he was a god, a couple times.
Yeah,
they
wanted to make him a god.
Right.
Jesus told the thief on the cross, he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And possibly that's the third heaven. Because Paul says, I was taken up to paradise.
Does he say paradise?
He says it's paradise.
In one of the when he reads
about various occasions when he
tells the story a little different.
Right.
Yeah.
I read that one account, and it's interesting because of that is why he had that thorn to keep him humble.
Because
he'd been showing all these things that are unlawful for a man to see,
Right.
And, of course, he tried to get rid of it, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
But I think it was his eyesight, because there's a... I think that's all tied into that when he's rehashing it, or retelling it, testifying of it, I should say. That's probably the better word.
And it would be so typical of God to let him have a vision and then give him poor vision in the natural.
Yeah.
Just to cast it off, like, this is what you saw. You can't even see a bird. I mean, just... make it easy to be ridiculed.
And I think that's why some of it was written by somebody else that he dictated to,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of his epistles.
Yeah.
I'm just speculating.
In 2 Corinthians 12:4. Oops, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
That's it.
I'll remember it. What do you yeah. want to say 12:4?
In 2 Corinthians 12:4. He's caught up in the paradise.
Okay.
I knew I'd see it.
Oh. I was, I'm wondering if when Jesus reappears, if there isn't a new name attached to that, the reappearance. My new name.
Says he has a name written on his thigh in one of the places in Revelation.
Are you talking about the second coming when he comes
down?
Well,
the general rule is that we refer to as the second coming. And obviously he's in a different place and position of time. But my new name, meaning at that time he's coming down as a savior. And I'm wondering if that's what that's referring to. Like you said, I'm just speculating. Because that's the only thing that... The only thing that I could, you know, because it's a twist, sir.
They do refer to the New Jerusalem in that scripture.
I was just throwing it out there. Does anybody who's more learned than I recall a name associated with the second coming? I mean, I've always heard recall the reference to the second coming, but I could not recall a different name or a new name to Jesus when he was coming back.
Certainly don't remember anything like that, but.
But that's to the verse in Revelation. That was the only thing that you got me thinking, and I was wondering. Well, maybe this is referring to this.
They also get sealed on their foreheads.
Yeah.
Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And that's when it names the 12 tribes. I'm trying to find that when Jesus is on the white horse. Okay, I think I got it here. Yeah, it's another name thing. Now I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. I thought there was another one somewhere.
Well, that certainly sounded like a new name to me, though.
Yeah. I thought there was one where it said something like a name on his thigh.
Well, I found two references to a white horse. Revelation 6, also 6:2. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. I looked up and saw a white horse sitting there, and its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head.
Well,
and then you mentioned you were reading on Revelation 19, I think.
Yep.
11, and then also in 21, there's a reference. 19:21, there's a reference to entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came out from the mouth of the one riding the white horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But those are the only three places I could see a reference to white horse.
I wonder if the one was when he's standing. I don't know.
Name on his thigh.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's just one of those words. that's in your head, but you don't know where it comes from. I'm pretty sure there was a reference somewhere.
Keith, did you have any thoughts on what this new name thing was all about there? And
No.
Yeah, I don't. That's funny. It's like that is just a complete blank.
Yeah.
You know? Right now.
Uh-huh.
To me, anyway.
Revelations 19:16, Ken.
19:16.
So we were right around there.
Oh, I just didn't keep any. And he has on his robe. Oh, yeah. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. Oh, name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it gives you the name there that time.
I notice Keith is really good at finding a scripture that he's not sure about and then he just throws it out and then he lets us chew on it for a while.
All right. What's with that, Keith? We're interested in the answer.
Yeah, we want answers here. We don't want to be deliberating, discerning.
Well, that's why when I said, yeah, I'm just going to read the one I found, and I have no comments. I have no idea.
Well,
we were chatting about
this today just a little bit. And that's, so I've had a little more time to kind of noodle it. But
He had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
Yeah. Right.
And his name is called the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know what?
Then, there's a lot regarding names there.
Name myself.
Revelation.
There's a lot of what?
There's a lot of stuff regarding names.
Yeah, yeah.
In Revelation.
Yeah.
King of Kings, Lord of Lords,
and all the ones that just says name and doesn't tell you what it is.
Right,
but lots of those.
A new name.
A new name.
New names. Yeah.
A new name. Proclamation of mine. My new name.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, what other name do you need for the city of New Jerusalem? You know, it's like
that's right,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
that's City of Gold, right? I mean, yeah.
It may be that name would somehow indicate a brand new way of thinking about it or seeing maybe a new revelation or awareness regarding it or something.
Or new beginning. In a way, there's life, and then there's going to be eternal life. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like old covenant, new covenant. It's going to be as far from the east, from the west kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't have a new name for that.
Yeah, and it's just, it's new. You know, it's, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Well, like, Keith is looking at something, Glenn. Something that has kind of come up that I think is worth sharing and repeating is we've kind of had some insight that we've gained from the difference between the Word, the letters, and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. You know, this words and letters are nice, but they're in the natural. But the Word of God takes on life, and life everlasting when the Holy Spirit is in the words. And so we've kind of been, this kind of came out of us trying to, how come there's some Bibles say this, some don't, or one gospel says this, and one gospel doesn't, and it's, we've kind of come into an understanding where you don't want to get trapped on a translation, a specific translation or specific spirit or spirits, and not get, I mean, pay attention to them, but don't make them divisive and let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, work with the Word of God for discernment. I've been it's really helped me in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks as we've been kind of wrestling with things. That, and I think the other really, Keith and I were kind of talking about this again, the angel of light and how he can, Charlie brought up the Greek has a different word for transfigure versus masquerade, and that the enemy doesn't just kind of wear a costume, he just changes.
Transforms
yeah. into deception, right. And so...
Right.
tied with this other revelation, you put those two together, and there's a lot of meat on the bone there to be, you know, continue to drive, to be grounded, and continue to seek understanding and revelation, and not to be doing it in the natural, and waiting on the Spirit. And kind of back to your other comments today about God's plan in His time, because otherwise you can. Heck, you can wrap yourself around the axle over one or three scriptures, form a whole new religion, and cause a split.
Yeah.
which has only happened about 7 million times already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, how do you keep an open heart and approach things in love to not let that happen?
What came to me for Sunday was on that setting. I said, well, so. How can he be an angel of light, you know, because God is light and whatever. And then what the answer I kind of got through the Spirit I felt was that he becomes an angel of light when you think with humanity.
Mm.
You know, when you think with your own mind and not the Spirit, then he can become an angel of light to those people if that's where they want to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he can make certain things look very righteous, you know, by the letter of the word instead of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then he just fools you, you know. I mean, and then it says, and his ministers would be ministers of righteousness. Not the right righteousness, you know, but righteousness to a lot of people because they're in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not an
appeal.
Yeah, they're not relying on the Holy Spirit to be teaching them. They're just relying on natural stuff. And so that's how he can really.
Boy, I can see that happen so, easily, so often,
especially when it appears so clear cut. Because once you stop depending upon the Spirit, then you can just read it. You go, well, it clearly says this, and then you think, and it's reinforcing this thought you've got it. You're off to the races, except it's on the wrong track.
I
think I'm understanding where you're going from, because I think it boils back to all this baptism stuff in Matthew 28 when we started doing that debate and argument thing and taking I think if I'm getting that right, that we what you're saying is a result of that conversation that we got into it in the humanity side of it. It's not the spiritual side.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. And we didn't get there right away either.
I think the upshot was good, though.
Yeah?
It was good.
Yeah.
Wait, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I, you know.
One of the thoughts, and I don't know if we decided if it was totally correct or not, but is if God wants... Even if man maybe influenced some things in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
he can leave them there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he wants you to hear by the Spirit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, if you get all caught up and then you just want
to,
you know, so you can't. That's why I had to leave that scripture alone and say, yes, it's in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, you know, it's.
Yeah. So, did you pass the test or not? That's why it's probably in there. You know, what grade are you going to get out of that one?
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
so, yeah.
If his plan is perfect, and we all say it is, he allowed over time deception or changes to creep into the translations that he has.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's changed the true... final act of salvation, eternal life, or what's important. And I think what I think the revelation that I've come to is that those are speed bumps that you are trying to intellectually or rationally or natural-mindedly trying to resolve instead of letting God be God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure. I love the line, nothing is perfect in God's perfect plan. You know, that expresses it. Because, you know, nothing is perfect. That means a lot of things. But it's his perfect plan.
Is that actual scripture, Charlie, or is that just something
you came up with? Well, it's not out of the Bible. Oh. It's out of Neil Young, if you must know.
Oh. It's right up right next to Trinity. You can't find it, but by golly, it's true.
Well.
But I'm not trying to make overly light of what you're saying.
Sure.
It's a, well, there's a valid point in that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I may have different like that one day, but you know what? I'm not so sure that's true. God's word is perfect. It says in Psalms 19:7, it says the word of God or the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And what happens? The Holy Spirit will perfect it.
Mm.
Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why you have to have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Nobody knows them.
Yeah.
No man, nobody knows the things of man except the Spirit of man that's in them.
Uh-huh.
But I think what we've been saying is we used to walk around and hold the Bible up and say, this is perfect.
It's not.
And I think what we're now saying, this, but the Holy Spirit is perfect.
The letter,
and that's a world of difference.
I think just like an oyster gets a grain of sand stuck in it, that's an imperfection, but it turns it into a pearl. The Holy Spirit takes these things,
yeah,
grain of sand,
yeah,
and makes a beautiful, you know, makes a pearl.
Yeah,
makes a pearl out of it.
And you know? And it lines up with scripture in the sense that I'm sorry, I won't quote this exactly right, but the wise, you know, the wise cannot discern it. Where's the one where you...
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, I'm not doing a good job quoting it, but
yeah,
the point is that...
You're right about it, though.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely familiar, and I think it's right, yeah. But, I mean, if you're not going to... The bottom line is we're not going to reason our way or intellectualize our way,
mm-hmm,
through the written word of God, because it is not perfect.
No.
Without the Holy Spirit.
Now, the Bible says, mm-hmm, a study to show yourself approved. The problem is that it's not the way we think. In other words, go to the some Bible college and study.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get it because you're going to get what they think. You're going to get their version or their theology.
Well, there's a lot of facts and figures in the Bible, but I'm not sure a lot of those facts and figures are what leads you to eternal life.
Well,
yeah.
And that study doesn't mean getting out your, you know, doing all your research and all with all your textbooks either.
Right.
It
no.
means a different thing.
Yeah.
This verse that I have quoted frequently, because they received out of love for the truth that they might be saved, for this cause, God left that scripture in there. Send them strong delusion.
Uh-huh. That's why Matthew 28:19 is in there, right? But there's a little jest, but there's a little bit of I think there's a little bit of truth to that too.
Oh well, yeah.
I think that's
if God chooses foolish, if He chooses foolish things to confound the wise,
that was a better scripture.
That was what you were groping for.
That's the one I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's little things, but the one I always reference is when the two gospels have a discrepancy between one or two, and it's like right there. I mean, that didn't take a lot of look into. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he left that in there so that,
yeah,
well, that's to say that, well, that's, you know, man's an imperfect vehicle. So But you know, God has overshadowed that in the sense that he'll make sure that you can get to where you need to get to, even though those
He hides these things from the wise and the prudent,
yeah,
and reveals them to babes. Why? That's his business.
Yeah, all I know is I want to be a babe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah, so I don't want.
But the process is good, though.
Yeah.
I would so much rather do what we're doing than nail this thing through close studying,
yeah,
and, you know, do a lot of archaeological research and all that stuff.
Yeah, a new manuscript.
Yeah, right.
A new reference of a manuscript. But yeah, go ahead.
There's so many scriptures. Oh, go ahead.
What are your thoughts?
I was just saying, I was just following up on Glenn's comment. That it's been good the trying to figure out, well, why. You know, how come? And I think God has shown us in a different way just how important he is to this whole process.
Except ye be to become converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Is that one of your favorite scriptures, Keith?
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
It is a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one, yeah.
Except. Except.
Yeah, that's the scripture you crack out at a leader's seminar. A pastor's retreat.
Yeah.
Or,
if you continue in my word, you're my disciple. And you'll know the truth. You know, I was thinking a little bit ago about in John 17:17, where it says, where Jesus says, sanctify them. You know that word means separate almost everywhere you look. Look in your concordance. Sanctify means to separate them. Separate them unto yourself through your truth. What did he say through your truth? What did he say through truth? Because it has to be God's truth, ergo it won't work.
Yeah.
Sure.
It can't be man's idea of truth.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
How much sanctified truth do I have?
Yeah.
Well, you got a lot more than you did 10 years ago. 10 years ago. 5 years ago. 3 years.
Yeah.
20.
Yeah, there really is light that compared with what, I don't know, it's a little hard to put yourself back at that time, but boy, we have light now.
Last Sunday morning, when Ken was talking about the angel of light and the fact that his ministers appear as angels of righteousness, angels of righteousness. Ministers of righteousness. And as he was talking, and it just hit me. And I thought, you know what? God is opening a door of understanding to us. For the most part, the church does not have any clue, and every minister is a minister of righteousness.
Supposedly.
Well,
the Pharisees were all right. The Sadducees were all right. Jesus was the one that was wrong.
Well, it is true that for the great majority of our history, we would have been fooled by those ministers of righteousness.
Oh, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
I have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we carry that even much farther. I mean, there's certain lengths of hair and certain lengths of dress and certain types of clothes that you must wear in order to be righteous. I mean, we find ways to convince ourselves we're doing it better and right and more correct than our fellow believer to feel good about ourselves. Our security comes in our behavior, not in our heart. I mean, do you think God really cares that, you know, you dress this way because that, you know, I mean, How is that making you righteous?
Let me give you an update, or not an update, but a good picture of this. Men have lust, lots of lust, in their systems. So what do? They make their women dress less appealing.
Reduce the temptation, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's UPC.
Yeah. That sounds like canned preaching.
Yeah. Make them dress so that the men don't have that problem. You know what? The men will have the problem no matter what they look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking, suspenders, they're holding my pants up. A belt holds my pants up. Either way, something's holding the pants up. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about, well, maybe it's a different type of dress, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the purpose that it's the thing that it's doing that counts, you know?
Yeah. And so Paul is talking in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's talking about these customs that people have, you know, the women don't cut their hair, and they should, you know, whatever, and they're talking about that, women having the long hair and so forth, and then he makes a statement. He says, but we don't have such a custom.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that?
Yep.
He said, but we don't have a kind of a custom. And it's like, well, then why do we?
But then in the other place, when he's talking about prayer and covering, then he says the women should have long hair as a covering.
Oh, yeah. He's not saying they shouldn't have long hair. But in the church system today, they shouldn't even cut it.
Well, yeah, right. And you know what's kind of interesting is Paul shows like a pretty, a woman should be pretty just common, not all fixed up.
Right.
But Peter
says, of a meek and quiet spirit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Peter says, oh, that's fine as long as you don't let it. Because he lifts it and he goes, women have this and that as long as it doesn't, you don't get pride in it or whatever. And, you know, I can't remember. That's not how he says it exactly. But
I think he's let your adornment be not.
Oh, yeah.
The braiding of your hair, the gold.
Yeah, but of your heart.
But a meek and quiet spirit.
Long hair, it is a glory for her. For her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So they're not saying that we don't have rules and regulations.
And it's suggesting that it is a matter of custom, which varies depending on whatever the society is or culture that you're in. And also, in Africa, you can be pretty darn scantily dressed, but still you're abiding by the custom, and so...
Yeah. So it doesn't even mean that it's wrong to do it. Just
right.
Don't
make it something.
Make it a
right.
Law or not law, but what is that? What do you call it when you follow the written
statute?
No,
legalistic.
Legalistic. Yeah. Don't make it legalistic.
Yeah, you know, we have Western European ministers, American missionaries would go to Africa and insist that these women get all dressed, cover their whole body here. And it wasn't anything that was, an issue. Probably was an issue for them, but,
Well, and most of it's for the men.
Yeah.
They have a problem.
Very.
They're trying to get the women to look like idiots. Because of their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, they did get them to look like idiots. Mm. That's being taped, and I don't care. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Good morning. You slept all night.
No, I didn't.
I tell you, there's limits to what you can try to get past the junk.
You gotta get a good response. Hey.
Yep.
He knows we wouldn't be here all night.
Okay.
You know exactly what time it is when your eyes are open, don't you?
Yeah. Paul preached all night.
Yeah.
Poor Gidicus fell out of the window.
Yeah, right. I got a kick out of that story.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder how many ministers today would run down and fell on them and brought her back to life.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, I wonder if we would. I wonder if I would.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Paul had to have been prompted by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which I think he was a lot.
Yeah.
See.
But presumably there'd be some dimes that, well, that's good, you know.
I'd say a good percentage of the time.
I agree. He wasn't always walking in the Spirit,
yeah.
I think about him on the ship. You know, he says, well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, seemed like there was a great deal of skepticism. But then sailors at that time were a little superstitious, so they kind of heard, ignored it. But then as each thing came, finally, you know, like, hey, I don't care what the captain says. We have to listen to this dude. He seems to know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. The hair in your head will be harmed.
Mm.
And then for a fact, he has a poisonous snake come out, look like he bite him, and they just wait. He doesn't drop, and they go, this guy, he's got it.
All right.
He really had their attention.
Mm. Although, you know, if he had the capacity to just make things right, you wouldn't have gone through all the stoning, all that stuff. So
spent a day and a night in the deep.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he'd have called up a whatever. You know.
He clearly did not have an easy ministry.
No, my goodness.
He clearly was.
Well, remember what Jesus told Ananias? I have to tell him what great things he's going to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For my name's sake.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know how it was worded there, but he had to know. You know.
Maybe it doesn't say my name's sake.
I think it does.
I think it does.
I think it depends on which occasion.
Which time he's telling it, yeah.
No, you look at the things that happened with Paul, and you say, this is a man who prevails with God?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. They stoned him and left him for dead.
Yes.
And after everybody left, he got up and walked away.
Mm.
Well, that was a little bit the other night. They were wanting you to be healed so bad, and I didn't want to hear that sometimes God leaves things with people, you know.
Mm, yeah.
Ah, not in this case.
Oh, yeah, she.
Because, you know, and I was going on, because we've had your testimony of you saying, I think God did this because it kept me humble, you know.
Mm.
That wouldn't be understood.
No.
No. That's okay.
Yeah.
Still, it's a little grievous to see that certainty.
There's a lot more that we can say.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of misplaced certainty.
I'm looking forward to it.
Are you? I'm not particularly.
I am.
Are you? Okay, well.
I think that's one of those things that you grow into, Charlie.
Okay.
Each day life gets a little natural, life gets a little harder, you go, I'm looking more forward to this.
Okay, well.
I'm thinking, I don't know,
Yeah.
We were talking,
but I
don't know, pretty close here.
I don't want to be presumptuous, I'm just going to wait it out. Maybe we get no chance.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yes.
Maybe we will.
Yes. I think that is surely right.
Yeah.
You
don't get discouraged if you don't get a chance.
Right. Well, that about it?
Yeah.
It's a good stopping point.
Love you all.